Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, take your Bibles and turn with me again to John chapter number 8. Ye hardy and brave souls that are here, I will say this. This is fascinating to me. In the early service, first off, they weren't even sure they were supposed to come, but those that came to the early service at 9 o'clock, there's probably 20 or 25 people here. They all sat in this section. And so until the rest of you filled this in, I thought, this hour is just going to be in this section. I can tell you it's really weird as a preacher to not be able to do this when you're preaching, right? It was really hard. Miss Patsy Puckett sat right back there, John, where you are. And so I could preach and then turn and preach and then turn. And it was weird, man. I don't know whatever your regular job routine is, but when you get out of a routine, it's hard. So I have no idea if they got anything out of the first message other than I had some kind of nervous tick where I was doing that. I am glad you heard. I'm sick of winter. I don't like winter anyway. I'm a summer baby. I like it warm. I like it hot. I like where I can go outside and work with my hands and do stuff outside. And when it's cold, I literally am like the picture of the hermit. I have like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I'm bundled up in my chair in my office at home just doing nothing. And so I hate the snow. Anyway, I was out. I appreciate those in the early hour that were here shoveling and doing all of that, getting us out. I appreciate Apex coming and getting us all cleaned off for those that are here. There's quite a few. Three of the staff live out in the county, and they are snowed in. They can't get out of their driveways, and Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it. Be safe, and if you can make it, make it. If you are here and you're concerned about getting home, we will have some folks follow you to make sure you get home, and then those folks that follow you to make sure you get home will contact me to make sure they got home. It's one of those things when you're a family, you want to make sure everything's okay as we go along and go through each of these things. Do be in prayer. I got a phone call in between services. Brother George Long was taken to the hospital, the emergency room this morning. I think it's St. Joe's. We're not sure if it's St. Joe's East or St. Joe's. And so right after the service, we'll find out. I'll go down and visit with Brother Long as well. He has had some litany of sicknesses over the last 6 weeks. I think Brother Long's 86 or 87. And so he's had some illnesses anyway. And recently, he always drives himself places and does his own stuff. But he called Edward and asked him to take him for a CT exam this last week, because he wasn't feeling quite right. And so just pray for Brother Long. I'll give you more information on that. And then on the evening service, we do have two baptisms tonight. The Iokas were here in the early service. They had traveled in from far northern counties, actually I think Grant County is where they come in from. And so they have been wanting to get baptized, and grandmas and grandpas are going to be here. We won't have church just for them. We'll watch the weather and make sure it's wise for us to come out, but we likely will go ahead and have evening service this evening, again, if you feel safe in coming out this evening. I will say this, it makes me a true Baptist preacher, right? Who laughed? There you go, Jason laughed. I knew somebody always had to laugh, right? It makes me a true Baptist preacher. You can't not have church. I love church. I love being around the people of God. This part of my regular Monday through Saturday work that I do, it's busy. Sunday is what I actually enjoy, not just because I preach, but I see you. We are encouraged, and we sing together. It's a good thing. So we'll make that decision this afternoon. So please keep an eye on the church app. Make sure you watch your phone for any communications on that as well. Well, that's it for the introductory stuff. Let's jump into the preaching this morning. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, we're continuing from last Sunday where we looked at the principle of light. And this week we're looking at the practical side of what it means that God is light. Well, we'll take it from one verse, in verse number 12, and this will end our introductory sermons for the year that sets us off for the morning preaching through the rest of the Sundays that will follow. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Father, help us this morning as we come to the Word of God. It is the purpose of church. It's the reason we gather. It is the heart of our worship. And so, Lord, as we come to the truth that Jesus gives to us here, I pray that I would make right application. Help us to calm our hearts and to focus our minds upon the things of God in these few minutes that we're here. that we would take something home with us that we can use in our Christian walk. I pray that there is great usefulness in what is said today. It is a very practical message. Bless, I pray, in this hour, the things that are said and heard, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus claims here that he is the light of the world. John the Apostle, in his first epistle in 1 John 1 and verse 5, agrees and says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Last week in our first message on the principle of light, we noted that God is light. And as light, he is preeminent, he has certain properties, and he accomplishes his purpose, just as light is preeminent. When you come into a dark room, you automatically flip the light switch on so that you can have light. The preeminence of light, the properties or the nature of light is important. We compared the principles to natural light to the light that God is in our spiritual being. We said that the preeminence of God means that he, like light, is both prominent and permanent. You never go in a room and turn off a dark switch. You just turn off the lights. Light is prominent, and then we noted that light that travels from the stars in the universe never end. They will continue in their photons to go through space. The natural world teaches us of our spiritual God that we love and know. In his properties, in his nature, we noted that light is both particle and a wave. And I tried not to get too nerdy last Sunday as I talked about what Einstein told us, that light are both particles and waves. But we noted that the particle was its substance, the wave was its conduct. And so we talked about the essence of God's character and the evidence of his conduct. The essence of God's character is holiness. He is holy, thus we should be holy. And the evidence of his character is that he is righteous. God conducts himself in righteousness. If you'll remember, we talked about the fact that you and I can only see 0.035% of all of the light spectrum. Sometimes that's the way it is with God and his righteousness. We don't know everything that he's doing. We don't know everything that is in his will. We don't know every way in which he's working. But because we can see the visible parts of his righteousness, we trust the other parts of who he is as well. The evidence teaches us these things. Finally, last week we expressed light's purpose. It was to generate life and to bring glory to the Creator from the creature. The generation of life comes because life in God has entered us, and it is glorious because we bring glory to him. So today, what I want to do is pivot our consideration in this opening message set for the year to the practical side of light. If light is principled, and we can see it in the natural realm, then there's practical things that we can draw from this truth that I am the light of the world from Jesus. His emphatic declaration that he is light is followed by this: he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So let's study the practical application of light in our lives. He is the light, and we who follow him should experience the effects of his light in our life. First, we begin with the power in light. The power in light. I don't mean like the radiant brightness of it. I mean legitimately solar energy. Now, today is not going to be a commercial for solar panels, but I am fascinated by solar energy. I'm literally amazed by what we have discovered in a certain sense. And present systems of solar panels teach us of inefficiency and a toxic nature when their end of life comes. And so I don't mean to give us a commercial on that. What I mean is our sun, by its lights and its photons that it emits, creates energy. In fact, science now calls it photovoltaic energy. Amazingly, for 6,000 years, mankind had no idea that the sun emitted any energy source other than just noonday heat. Man, it's hot. The sun is high in the sky. It is a tough day outside. That's all we knew, is that it heated our planet. But in the 1950s, the discovery of selenium in, not the discovery, it was discovered in the 1800s, but selenium discovered in a photovoltaic system saw that we could actually create electricity, current, power, energy from light itself. Now, every politician since then has promised us that it is the wave of the future. However, The power is inexhaustible, even though there is great inefficiencies in the way that energy is delivered today. There's a great spiritual truth in all of this. The power from the sun is limitless for us to use. It is greater than anything that we can dredge up or dig out of the ground and put it into our engines to run. However, it is so efficiently captured by us, it becomes useless to us. Boy, there's a great spiritual lesson. Because God in His power and light is inexhaustibly available to us. Yet we as Christians come in an ineffective, in an inefficient way to Him, and so we don't fully make the connection with Him. The practical issue for the believer then is found in Jesus' words here. We must be, letter A, connected. We must be connected. In fact, Jesus says it, "He that followeth." You get to plug in or not. It is your choice to make as to whether you want to connect to the Son of Life, the Son of Light, Jesus Christ Himself. There is no power if we do not choose to connect to Christ by following Him. The apostles in the first age were called with, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It was a choice that they had to make, to leave the old, to pursue the new life. And the new light that they saw in Jesus Christ. If you have never chosen to follow Jesus Christ, then today is the day to make that connection with Him. To follow Him when He walked the earth meant to believe He was who He said He was and to obey Him. Today, to follow Jesus means to trust that His life was perfect, that His death, the shedding of His blood, was the atonement for your sins, His burial was complete, and that His resurrection to life was in power of and demonstration of the Godhead. These are the means for the regeneration of our soul, by faith in Jesus Christ. In our example that we began this point with of solar energy, it's not a matter of the sun not emitting sufficient power. It is, do we have the proper and efficient tools to connect to Him? A lot of people think they connect to God by just doing good things. If I do enough good, then God will accept me. You can never do enough good because you are not the sun. You are not the source of light. The only connection you have to the light, the only way the power turns on, is by faith alone in Jesus Christ for your Savior, for your salvation. Spiritually, John, in his epistle, wrote of our connection to Jesus this way. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." There is great power in that statement. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world?" Rhetorical question being asked here. "But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Down in verse 11 and 12, he goes on and says this, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. In our verse here, Jesus says that we may have the light of life. That light of life is Himself. It is a connection to Him. Jesus emphatically states for our spiritual man, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." You must first connect in salvation, and second, we connect daily in sanctification. It is a scriptural walk in the light of the Word of God. The person of Christ saves us, but the power of the Scriptures and the light that is in them gives us that daily walk that is successful for us. And so we find first that we must connect, but letter B, it is a great truth that He remains constant. Now, I could probably spend a lot of time, if you want to talk Star Talk with me, about fusion and fission and the expulsion of matter. Coronal mass ejections are a great study. If you ever wonder about the power grid, why it fluctuates sometimes, it's all due to our sun, some 93 to 95 million miles away. Yet, the source of light from the sun stays constant. Maybe there is other parts of the visible spectrum of light that we can't see that changes. Maybe there's some in the electromagnetic spectrum. But the visible light is constant, and that visible light gives to us the power. It gives to us the ability. Jesus says as much in this very verse. "He that followeth me," not Kyle, not a church, not your parents, not your spouse, not your children, not a relationship, not a denomination, but Him and Him alone. He is the constant. There's power in light, for He is light. Light energy is constantly flowing from our sun. Its power is also always available. So too the power of God's light always flows to those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Is God and His person the constant of spiritual energy in your daily life? What motivates and moves you? What constant? Well, the love I have within my home, that moves me. Friend, if it ever falters, then you will fail. But Jesus will never fail you. He will never falter. He is the constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. Jesus is the constant source of power for our lives. His physical departure brought the tangible presence of the Spirit of God to our lives. The power available to the followers of Jesus is actually more potent with the presence of the Holy Spirit than it was when He walked this earth. That's only something within God's divine plan. But Jesus said as much in John 14, in verse 15, we begin reading, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Jesus would often say this, especially in these few chapters towards the end of John's gospel. He goes on in the next sentence and verse and says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him." He's talking to those of us who've made connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Spirit, but ye know Him. Why? "For He dwelleth with you." Notice the next phrase, "and shall." He does it when Jesus makes this statement. He's not abiding in them yet, but He's going to. "And shall abide in you." Jesus confirmed this to the disciples just before ascending into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And being assembled together with them," Jesus assembled with those disciples, "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Well, where was the promise given? "Which He saith, ye have heard of me." When did He tell them it? And the answer is back in John 14, back in John 16, back in the gospel accounts. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence," or not many days from now. In verse 6, they ask the question, "When's the kingdom going to be set up?" Jesus answers them in verse 7, "And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power," or His own authority, "but ye shall receive power." The words power here are two different words in the original language. The first is executive authority. God's in control. He has the power to give and the power to exercise. The second is the ability, dunamis power, explosive, enabling power. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God's power to live as light is not something that comes from without the follower of Jesus, but rather through our connection to Him and the constant of who God is something that resides within the believer. Understand that this morning. The power in light is literally indwelling you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Practically, we have the power in God's light. Next, we have the perspective from light. In verse number 12, we see the perspective. The second part of this second phrase of Jesus' statement in verse 12 is the basis for the New Testament principle of putting off and putting on. Paul would expand upon this. In fact, our opening passage from Philippians chapter 2 that Zach read for us told us as much, that we would be holy and harmless in this world, children of light, that we would be demonstrators of the light that is in us. If we come into a room and it's dark and we turn the lights on, we instantly know that our perspective changed because we can see stuff. We can see chairs. We can see obstacles in the way. We can navigate and negotiate a dark space when light comes in. Our perspective changes. Paul expands this idea not just in Philippians 2. He talks about it in chapters 6, 7, and 8 of Romans. He talks about it in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about it in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. John highlights it in his epistle at the beginning in 1 John chapter number 1 that we don't walk in darkness anymore because we are children of the light. Peter and James, Jude all write about how we are to be different. All of the New Testament letters teach us that because of Christ, our life is to be different. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It brings letter A, clarity for life. You know, a fresh perspective on something always brings clarity. It either confirms the direction you were going was right, or it challenges you to make a different direction or a different approach. Perspective for light from light gives clarity for life. Shall not walk in darkness. The statement here is emphatic. There is no gray. Yes, there's room for growth for the baby Christian who is maturing. But it's not as if God said, well, you know, there's some things of the old world and the old flesh and the old nature and the old man. There's some of those things you can just enjoy and love and continue in. No, it's darkness and light. It's black and white. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said this in Romans 13, verses 12 through 14. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Boy, that's a change of perspective. You know, there's some people that I meet and they will say, you know, this Christian life is nothing but constricting to me. I doubt that person is calling the light of God in their life an armor, a protection. But as we walk in the light and live in the light, we begin to see the light itself is a great protection to and for us. Let us walk honestly as in the day, he says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. He lists things that control our life, things that manipulate our life, things that we begin to think we can't live without and they become a normal part of who we are. They dominate our culture today that is filled with darkness. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Paul takes Jesus' words and draws a clear perspective for our life. So what kind of believer will you be this year? Oh, yes, with snow and with changes, we've pushed this back to the middle of January. But it's never too late for you to stop and say, what kind of person do I want to be? Maybe we could say, what manner of person ought ye to be? Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes this in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. If you read verses 2 through 7, you will find the wickedness of the world, the wretchedness of man, the darkness that surrounds us. And in verse number 8, Paul says this, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He then says a parenthetical statement, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. In other words, the conduct that God, Jesus Christ, actually conducted himself in, we should conduct ourselves the same way. Proving, as we walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Friend, may I say today, you will watch everywhere on social media, in legacy media, on your television and at the movie house, everywhere you go, you will see things done openly and publicly and discussed freely that should be a shame to us even in secret. It's done openly today. We have a culture and a country that is so dark and degraded by wickedness that we're doing these things openly. It ought not be for the Christian. He says, but in all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever shows or makes something obvious is light from God. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall what? Give thee light. What we must do as followers of Christ is to live within the light of Christ's life. Live within the Spirit's prompting. Live within the Scripture's teaching so that we do not engage in the works of darkness. The perspective from light gives clarity, for life, but it also enables us to comprehend the Lord. We are in the process of comprehending who God is. He says in the first part, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When we see life through the divine light of God and His perspective, His Word and what it teaches, then we begin to understand the Lord and His ways, His work. We quoted this last week and we talked about it last week when we talked about the principles of God from John chapter 1, or the principles of light. In John chapter 1 in verses 9 through 14, we find Jesus is introduced to us as the light, that light. That was the true light, he says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Notice what it says. And the world knew him not. They couldn't comprehend him. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Then he describes what that means. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your new life comes from the light of Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Notice the parentheses. And we beheld His glory. That word beheld there has the idea of comprehension. We could see it for what it is, we could appreciate it, and we could want more of it. That is what comprehension means. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The light of Jesus makes us sons, but it also allows us to behold the glory and the fullness of His grace and truth. Paul prayed to God about the Ephesians over this very topic, about their comprehension of God and an understanding of who He is and the fact that light was involved. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Then Paul begins to enumerate what he's praying for these believers. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. 2, to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man. 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. 4, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That, my friend, is the light of life. It's exactly what God intends for us. The longer we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the light of His Word and in the light of His way, the more we begin to understand what God is up to. You know, as a pastor, I often will hear young Christians, new Christians, come to me and say, "I don't even know what God wants me to do." That's normal. Babies don't know what to do. I was watching Zach holding Zoe, and I was very glad for when Sarah came close to Zach with Zoe, because mamas know a lot better to what to do with babies than daddies do. Daddies are good at hugging and kissing and doing that kind of stuff, but mamas are good at everything else. Sometimes as baby Christians, Zoe's not going to walk into church, I don't think, is she? Not yet. Madeline is, but not Zoe. Baby Christians don't fully comprehend who God is, but as we walk in the light of life, we begin to comprehend more and more and more about what God is doing. As we live in the darkness, we might say, even as older, mature Christians, as we engage in things that are worldly and fleshly, we might say, "Well, I don't see God anymore. I don't find God working in my life." It's because you've lived or walked in the darkness. If you walk in the light of life, you will understand and comprehend God the way He needs to be comprehended. You and I have that light in us. that we may understand the depth and the breadth and the height of God in His work. And it is vast and varied. No, we will not understand everything about God or how He works on this side of heaven. But perspective in life comes as we get clarity from the light of God, but also comprehension of who the Lord is. Practically, we understand the power in light. Practically, we understand the perspective from light. And finally, this morning, I want us to consider the placement as light. Take your Bibles and turn over to the only other time in the Bible the phrase "the light of the world" is used. Jesus says in John 8 and verse 12 of Himself, "I am the light of the world." Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 14, we have the Sermon on the Mount in the beginning. He's gone through the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that are poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's told us the right spiritual tenor or bent of a heart that loves God and wants to live in His kingdom, a spiritual kingdom at this point. But after that, he pivots and looks at the believer. What are we like? Well, we're salt, verse 13 tells us. But in verse 14, he says this. He's just said in John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world." Now he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to put this picture up here, and I'm going to take just a pause in the service to explain some stuff. It's fascinating, and there's a practical application of this. There is a company called Reflect Orbital. I literally found out about this in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The company has begun to reflect sunlight onto the dark side of the planet. So as our planet turns, they have in space gigantic mirrors on the left side of that picture that are hanging out in space doing who knows what for who knows how long. But they're giant reflecting mirrors. Reflect Orbital has devices that in launch will reflect light down in the nighttime hours onto a small island in the Pacific. That's where the man is standing on the beach on a small island in the nowhere middle of the Pacific. Their aim is to have these reflectors power solar arrays at night, just like daytime sun would, so as to effectively double the amount of energy that can be produced from the sun. How wild is that, by the way? I mean, like, what guy woke up one morning like, you know what, let's just shoot a mirror up and, oh, leave it up there, Joe, I'm not going to go off of it yet. Who said, you know what, let's just launch a bunch of mirrors up into space? I mean, all of us when we were kids took a mirror and probably fried an ant, right? We've all done that. We saw the focal lens and we're like, yeah, man, that's what we can do. And these jokers said, let's shoot something up into space. They probably asked Elon to help them and they shot it into space so they could shine it down on the earth. Now, there's no end to how this could end up wrong. Right, I have this James Bond villain vibe going on about this. Like, this is going to go sideways very quickly. But their concept is actually what we read in Matthew chapter 5. They're taking the inexhaustible supply of light from the sun and they're redirecting it into darkness for a usable and functional effect of bringing light in a dark world. And I thought, man, that is good. Sometimes as a pastor, you stumble upon an article and you're reading and other things and you're like, that's it. This isn't only it, but this is a modern example of this. When I read the article, I thought, that's us. I mean, as wild as the concept is that they're trying to do for a relatively weak power supply, such as solar panels, the imagery here is emblematic of us. We are the lights of Jesus' holiness and righteousness. We are set apart from, but shining into the world. The world literally is that poor soul standing apparently alone on that island in the Pacific, getting a spot of sunlight. All right, Joe, you can take it off that because now everybody's just going to be watching outer space. As light, We are commanded to walk in His light, not in the world's darkness, not in our fleshly desires. In that practical walk, all of the principles of God's light are then made known to mankind. His preeminence, His properties, His purpose, all of those become evident to them. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, this is so. In verse 16, He says that they may, see your good works. You could write in your Bible, good works, out in the margin, equals light. That they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The preeminence, properties, and purpose of light have their effect as we daily reflect God's light on this world. That brings us to the placement. Our placement as light in the world is critical. God has a designed place and purpose for you as light as much as He did for Jesus when He came. The placement of our light, letter A, is a high place. I don't mean to be haughty. I mean it has to be elevated. It cannot be in the valley of darkness where the rest of mankind dwells. It's why living holy and righteously is so important. It is literally spoken of in every New Testament epistle that we should be holy and righteous. A city that is set on a hill, He says, cannot be hid. In Jesus' day, when He would travel, they would go up and down into the valleys and on the mountaintops, and they would be able to tell what their direction was, one, by the stars, two, by the moon, I should say, and two, by the stars, and three, by the cities that they could see illuminated. And friend, when it's dark, a couple weeks ago when that ice storm happened and our power went out and we cranked up our generator living out there in the county, we could see that nobody had power. But man, when you would see somebody's house have a little bit of a flicker of light, you're like, man, I would like to know what generator they have. You could see that house from a mile away. You could know it. You could tell they had power because they had light. God lights with us with His holiness and with His righteousness. And then He sets us up and before the world to see the glory of His nature, the glory of His character. His design is for us to demonstrate the brilliance of divine righteousness and holiness in a sinful world. Why would we think then that it's okay to live in open sinfulness if we're Christians? And the answer is we ought not. You cannot live like, you cannot talk like, you cannot act like the people in the world who dwell in darkness. They must see in you that great light of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do live in that darkness, then you are attempting to hide the light. He even addresses that. Of course, when that thing is elevated and lifted up, we wouldn't put a bushel over it. We wouldn't cover it up. We leave it elevated and high so that people can see a difference. Our placement as God's light is first a high place for maximum benefit, but it is also, and finally this morning, a helpful place. Look at verse 15 in Matthew 5. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. If we were to just take the positive statement in that verse, you could read it this way. Men light a candle, and put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Interestingly enough, in the Greek, the original language that Matthew was written in, the word light that is used in these three verses is three different words. I might need a cup of water just to get done, if you don't mind. Jason's getting it. Thank you, I appreciate it. I don't pay extra for that, but you know. Thank you. I got a little riled up in the first service and it carried over to this one. And I try not to cough on you. Excuse me. Reading it positively, we consider the helpful nature that light is. He says, men light a candle and put it on a candlestick. The first word light that is used here is the word phos. It's the word that we found in John chapter 8 and verse 12. light, the emanating source. Phos in the Greek, or then later into the Latin, would be what we would say photos. We would say photograph or photons. We understand that word phos in its original root language. The other two words that come in is men lighting a candle. The word light a candle here is kaio. I put it in your notes. You can see it there. It's kaio. K-I-K-A-I-O. It means to ignite. It means to burn. So in other words, men ignite a candle. Well, if God is the igniter of us, thank you, Jason. If God is the igniter of us, when does that ignition happen? And the answer is when we get saved. Did God light us with light for a reason? Absolutely. Then we find the third use of the word light in the English language, and it is the word lampo, L-A-M-P-O. I told the earlier crowd that if I was with some of my Hispanic friends, I might just call a lamp a lampo, and I don't know if that's the same word, but the point is that's where its etymology comes from. It's lampo. It literally means to be brilliant in illumination. Bright. Men ignite a candle and elevate it. That's the high. And it giveth brilliant illumination unto who? All that are in the house. That's important. We understand then that the placement is one of assistance. It's one of help. Think now of you. Your placement as a light of God. You must be high. That means you must be different from the world. But you also must be helpful. Where has God placed you? What home? What is your environment like in the family? Do mom and dad love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do the children know Christ? If you're an older couple, if your children have left the home, is there a relationship that needs to be restored? Are you a helpful, brilliant, illuminating light accomplishing its purpose? What about work? Do you shine as a light? I'm not telling you to go into work and put on a breadboard and tell everybody they're going to hell. Right? You would not be an effective coworker. You would not be an obedient Christian, in fact, if you did that. But sharing that you are a believer, and when everybody swears like a sailor and you say, please don't, you're actually being helpful. Oh, they don't like it when I do that, Kyle. I didn't ask if they like it. It's helpful when you say, you know what, this isn't healthy for us. It's not what I prefer. You say, well, if I do that, then I can't join them in that kind of conversation. Yeah, it's called being a helpful light. You can't engage in their activity and then say, oh, well, I shouldn't have done that, but you should do this differently. You can't do that. You see, you're not helpful. So the first question essentially then is, where has God placed you? Consider your own environment, home, work, neighborhood, community relationships. But maybe the better question than this morning before we close is this, why has God placed you there? I think the second word for light, it giveth light unto all that are in the house, is our reason. That's our why. To be brilliant illuminators of all that God wants. Who are we to give light to? I mean, literally and specifically, I want you to think, there is somebody I know that doesn't know Jesus, and I need to share the light of life with them this week. If we place our lights in effective and purposeful places that help us navigate and negotiate our homes, don't you think God would do the same thing in this temporal realm that He created? In salvation, Christ ignites the fire of His Holy Spirit within you. And He expects you then to brilliantly illuminate your pocket of the world. The principles always bring out the practical. The principles of God being preeminent, the principle of God being in His properties, holy and righteous, the principles of God having a purpose in why He came gives to us our practical application. What we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. In closing this morning, we set off in this new year with a thought, this thought always on our mind. Am I being a light today? To be the light of the world, you cannot walk in darkness, we've read. You must know the power that is available to you in God's light. You must have the proper perspective that we draw from God's light. And you must embrace the emplacement as God's light wherever He has placed you in this world below. Oh, that we would be the light that God wants us to be. Father, help us, I pray, as we close our thoughts today. I am glad, Lord, that Jesus' words are true and simple.